Welcome all your wrestling fanatics to Reed's Wrestling. I am your host, Alan Reed, and today I'll be reviewing the January 29th episode of SmackDown, the SmackDown before the Royal Rumble. Now, let's get right into the action. The night started off with Daniel Bryan already in the ring, and he quickly states how he's done a lot in his career. He's won a lot of championships, but he hasn't won a Royal Rumble match, which I agree, he should have already won one a long time ago. He also states how no one knows about WrestleMania main events than he does. Questionable, because there's way bigger superstars that know a lot about those main events. But what are we going to do? But he is very confident that he's going to win the Royal Rumble. Quite frankly, I haven't seen him this confident in a while. He's very determined to win. But like anything, of course, AJ Styles comes out. And he starts ranting how you will see AJ Styles throw 29 other men over the top rope and go into WrestleMania. Now, before I continue, I want to say that I did choose my Royal Rumble winner already. And I'm going to say at the end of the show, and might be not that obvious or might be obvious, but we will see. And then Daniel says how... what the hell is a Raw superstar doing on a SmackDown show? There's no Raw superstar here, but it is an invitational night, being the SmackDown before the Royal Rumble, so we have everyone in the building. AJ says Daniel doesn't look ready. Jokes how he looks like a gym because he was dressed in a sports jacket, jeans, not looking like a quote-unquote wrestler. Daniel Bryan then challenges AJ Styles to a match. AJ, being AJ, he agrees and says he needs one more warm-up before the Rumble. And then AJ shoves Daniel Bryan down to the ring. And funny enough, Daniel clearly about to attack AJ. But then somehow, like a scene from a movie, Daniel looks up and there's a huge monster right in front of him. Freaking almost a 7'3" guy. I mean, if I was looking up at that guy, I'd be scared too. He looked almost like a skyscraper next to Daniel Bryan. Daniel says if he's a real man, he will come out without him. Daniel also says that with or without almost, he is still going to kick his ass. Then we move on to a backstage interview with Caleb Braxton interviewing Bayley. Kayla goes quickly into saying how Bianca Belair beat her last week in the triathlon. And then Bayley quickly stops her and laughs, literally because of the beating she gave her. It was a beating, to be honest. She threw a basketball to her stomach with full force. And Bayley then says that after she's done beating her tonight, she could crawl up into the darkest hole in her life. Emphasis on the est, funny enough. So then we move on to match number one, Bianca Belair versus Bayley. Bianca Belair truly is the future of women's wrestling. I honestly do believe that this woman has everything: athletic skills, look, charisma. She is literally the total package, and I really hope that they give her a quote-unquote Charlotte Flair push, because if Bianca can get there, she will really, 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 really make the women's division even better. Early on, Bianca gets the better of Bayley. Bianca's offense actually makes Bayley back away a lot. It's almost like Bayley was second-guessing her decision to go against her, because Bianca's just fast pace in this match. But soon, Bayley takes the offense, and the way Bayley was fighting Bianca, it looked like she was fighting her in a back alley, because she was just street fighting, just fist, kicks, like if she was just jumping her in the ring, which I would do the same, because Bianca's offense is unpredictable at this point. Then Bayley pulls on Bianca's long braided hair and says, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong. Random thing from the corner. I don't know what to make of that. It was just so random. Then Bianca somersaults back, showing her athletic background. She does a lot of spins in this match. Bayley goes for a pin, but then Bianca kicks out. Then Bianca does a kick up into a backflip, what I call backflip body slam, goes for a pin, and Bayley kicks out. From that point, clearly, like I said, Bayley underestimated Bianca's abilities. She's really second guessing her nature right now. And like Michael Cole said, is Bayley jealous of Bianca Belair? And then Bayley ends up saying to Michael Cole, I'm not jealous. Bayley continues to work on an injured arm of Bianca. Bianca pulls on her injured arm more. And to be honest, I felt that one looked very painful. That pull leads into an arm bar type move. And then Bayley goes to the top rope for an elbow drop to the back of the neck of Bianca Belair. Bianca gives Bayley a good right hook. That punch hurt around the world. Bianca's arm gives out as she attempts a slam. Again, Bayley did a number on Bianca's arm. Then Bianca does a kiss of death on Bayley after putting Bayley to the top of the turnbuckle. Bianca Belair for the win. This shows that Bianca can overcome a challenge, and she is willing to put her body on the line to prove herself that she is the top woman. And not to mention, Bayley put on a clinic in this match. She did her best. Her best wasn't good enough, but she did do her best. So then Kayla Braxton comes out to interview Bianca and asks what she feels after her victory over Bayley. She will never ever apologize for being her, nor does she have to. I agree. Bayley watches her from the ring, pure hatred on her face. Like, she is livid. Bianca says this is the biggest win of her career so far. Agree with that. The only thing that could top this moment is winning the Rumble and going to WrestleMania, Bianca Belair said. And from my pick for the Women's Royal Rumble, which I'll say at the end of the show, is interesting enough. Now it's time for royalty, as Michael Cole will say. We have King Corbin coming out, and then out of nowhere, Dominic attacks Corbin from behind. Dominic is pretty determined in this match. He has to be. He has a lot to prove, being Rey Mysterio's son. Not as high-flying as his father, but more of like a grounded technical wrestler, I guess, in a way. He does keep a fast pace in the beginning of the match, and then we see that Rey Mysterio is on commentary, just looking at his son, almost being like a coach, watching his son play on the team. It's very interesting. Corbin intercepts Dominic's offense with a backslam, and from there on, it's mostly downhill for Dominic. You see Corbin really get the upper hand and just taunts Rey as he manhandles Dominic in the ring. Dominic kicks Corbin in the head. It literally does nothing. Corbin doesn't even feel it. He just clotheslines him in the turnbuckle. Rey keeps looking on as this tall-ass guy is beating up his only son. Like I said, he almost looks like a coach, just like a boxing coach, like in the corner, like right, left, oh my god, no. Then Dominic goes for a 619. Corbin stops it right there, grabs his legs. Dominic does a massive DDT, to be honest. It was a very technical DDT. Goes for a pin. Corbin kicks out. Rey gets even more frustrated. Then Corbin delivers end of days for the win. That match, to be honest, it was more of a warm-up match for King Corbin. Corbin tried to assault Rey outside after the match, taunting him, and then Rey flattens him in the corner easily outside the ring, hits him on the steel post. Now we move on to Big E with Sonya Deville talking about Royal Rumble numbers. This is what I was talking about on my Raw review. I missed those segments of when superstars were going to random places, pick out a number, and then they react to the number. So this was a little homage to that. Big E gives Sonya Deville $1 because clearly $1 is going to get you very far in the Royal Rumble. And as fashionable as it is, Miz and Morrison comes in and is the steals the show. Miz Tease is cashing in the Money in the Bank contract, and it's starting to feel like he's going to pick a very, very bad time to cash it in, and he's going to lose the opportunity because he's teasing it so much that it's not even a surprise anymore. Like, if I was Drew McIntyre or if I was a champion in general, I just know he's coming for me because he keeps saying it. While back then it was more silent and it was just came out of nowhere. Biggie, Miz, and Morrison then get into a little backstage brawl and referees come in to break it up. And then we move on to Reginald and Sasha Banks backstage. Reginald gives Sasha a wine bottle from Carmella. And then Sasha starts getting all flirty with Reginald and starts telling how she likes that he speaks French and the way he dresses and the way he carries himself. But then it slowly turns a little dark. And then she asks what's the best wine to buy Carmella. And then he doesn't even know how to answer that. But then she's right away she says because she's going to be drinking with a broken jaw. And then Sasha gives back the bottle to Reginald and says, looks like you need a drink. And clearly with Reginald's face expression, he needs the whole bottle because he doesn't even know what to say with that. And then we move on to the final face-off. Roman Reigns and Kevin Owens interview. This is not a typical face-off that I was expecting. I thought it was going to do, you know, the whole, they go into the ring, they face off, they talk their shit. And then, you know, someone gets knocked the fuck out and looks like Superman. But no, it was just a backstage interview, split screen, both in different rooms. As a lot of people stated, the heel turn of Roman Reigns is amazing. He is playing it off so well. There's no denying that Roman Reigns should have done this a long time ago. And with his, he has like this low monotone voice that it just makes him more of a reason to be feared, because he doesn't need a loud tone to be feared. He just has this low growlish voice that is just like, he sounds so chill, but he'll fuck you up in an instant. And then Kevin Owens says that he's a smart man. He should think of what to say next. Be smart, Roman. Be smart. Roman tries to make Kevin understand that he doesn't understand. He says that he isn't built for this anymore. He's nothing. He's just a pawn. They're just using him to get airtime. Roman literally says that he's the king, that everything revolves around him. He's, of course, the head of the table. He is the reason we all watch SmackDown. Kevin Owens the whole time when Roman is saying that he's the king, he's the head of the table, he just has this like fuck you face, like get the fuck out. Like he's literally gonna go through the camera and just choke him out. Roman then says you're a fool. His father's a fool, and then that means his grandpa's a fool. And now Roman literally went below the belt. He hit Kevin Owens in the balls. Like, now when you bring in family, that's how you know shit got serious. And the tension really is there now. Like, Kevin is like pissed the fuck off. Like, Roman is chill. I mean, he has that face that he's like, yo, I'm gonna go through the camera and kick your ass too. But no, Kevin Owens' face, he sold that segment so well. He literally had a fuck you face, and it actually made him more pissed. And I can see what Roman Reigns is doing right now. He is literally getting in the mind of Kevin Owens. He is literally making Owens so mad that probably on Sunday, when the last man standing match happens, he's gonna be so mad. He's not even gonna think about his next move. He's just gonna think about, his mind's gonna go blank. He's just gonna do whatever by instinct. And Roman is being smart, calculating his moves, and knowing that he's gonna be so much full of hatred, it's just gonna be quote unquote easy for him to win. And then Kevin Owens quickly just calls Roman an insecure bully, which, in his defense, could be true. Kevin then talks about his family, and then this guy fucking explodes of anger. This guy, he lets it all out. He's literally just explodes. And Roman Reigns, being Roman Reigns, just stays calm. Lets him, he's literally just like, hey, you know what? Just get it out there, bro. Just get it out there. Don't worry. I don't have to say anything to you no more. And then I don't know where Roman Reigns' camera goes black. And then Kevin gets even more mad. He just rips out the mic. And he's literally like, man, fuck this. Fuck this guy. Fuck this. I'm out of here. Now, the hype is there for the last man standing match. I feel like this could end the feud. And I think it should, because, I mean, we're going to WrestleMania, so I don't think they should put Kevin Owens versus Roman Reigns, because the last man standing match should just be the last one. I don't really see them going to WrestleMania and just doing a match. I don't. The hype is there, and the match is booked very intense. Like, they booked it to make it almost seem like this is going to be the match of the year. And who knows? I think it could be, if they're smart, because with everything that's been leading up to this, I feel like it could be. I believe we might even see like an Attitude Era-esque last man standing match, which I truly think could happen if it is timed right. And by timed right, I mean pace themselves. Start it off kind of slow, making us want more, but then literally maybe when it hits that 15 minute mark in the match, that shit, that thing picks up, and we just get a The Rock versus Mankind type of last man standing match. Just go all in. And now we move on to the main event. We have Daniel Bryan versus AJ Styles. And as promised, AJ kept his word, and he came out with Almost, but he quickly parted ways with Almost. I honestly did not think he was going to do that. I thought he was going to do some slick thing and be like, oh no, Almost has to be with me because, you know, contractual agreements or whatever. I thought he was going to do that. Whatever. And shockingly enough, Cesaro is on commentary, and he explains how he's on a roll, which is true. I'm extremely happy that they're pushing Cesaro. It's about damn time this guy gets a push. He's been a mid-carder for too long, and I do believe he has the potential to go up to a main event. Will he go to a main event? I say yes. So then the match starts. It really starts as a grappling match. They're both trading holds, keeping it very grounded, showing each other that, hey, I can mat wrestle too, and I can mat wrestle you as good as you can mat wrestle me. Then Daniel kicks Styles' hand and goes for a submission. I said that he was gonna work on AJ Styles' hand so it hurts so much, so he doesn't have to deliver the Styles clash. And then out of nowhere, Sami Zayn comes out. Okay, of course, why not? And then AJ takes advantage and gets Daniel Bryan outside the ring onto a steel steps. So then Sami Zayn ringside, and with his picket signs, because the world is out to get him, and there's a conspiracy theory that everyone in WWE is trying to get rid of him, and he just rants about it, goes around the ring, obviously talks to Michael Cole, saying that they won't put him down. They won't put him down. He's too strong. AJ then does a calf crusher. Daniel fights the pain to make it to the ropes. It looked pretty painful, as always. I mean, that move, it hurts me because it hurts me a lot. AJ then tries a phenomenal forearm, but then Daniel blocks it. And he does a Daniel lock, but AJ's foot gets up to the rope really quick. And then Big E comes out, and then Sami Zayn gets anxious. Okay, so now we have two interference, and Big E casually walks to the side of the ring, casually takes off his ring gear, puts his belt on the steps, boom, clothesline to Sami Zayn outside, and then sends him over the announcer table. And then Cesaro attacks Big E. So now we have a full-blown brawl in outside the ring. And then Daniel flies through the ropes and hits Cesaro. Sami Zayn attacks Daniel Bryan and it results in a disqualification. And then just chaos in the ring now. Shinsuke Nakamura decides to come out and goes to Sami Zayn. And I guess it turns out that Sami Zayn is pissing off more people than he should, because supposedly the world is out to get him and WWE is out to get him, but yeah, he's pissing off all these wrestlers and they're attacking him. So his message is clearly not getting out there the way he wants to. So then it's a full brawl with everyone in the ring fighting, and then in the middle of that, Nakamura and Cesaro size each other up. We have former tag team here, and now the match turns into a six-man tag match. Daniel Bryan, Big E, and Shinsuke Nakamura versus Sami Zayn, Cesaro, and AJ Styles. This match, it has literally all the superstars that I think WWE is going to be pushing for this year, minus Daniel Bryan, because he's already established. He solidified his thing. He doesn't have nothing to prove, but they're really pushing Big E and Nakamura and Sammy and Cesaro for I believe future main events, because respectively enough, all these guys have their shit together, and I can see either one of them actually winning the Royal Rumble without a doubt. So then Sammy hurts Daniel's leg and AJ Styles drives Daniel's leg to the ring post, and from here everything goes down here for Daniel Bryan. His leg starts to hurt really bad. Cesaro does a half crab on Daniel's angel leg. AJ, Cesaro, and Sammy now work on Daniel's leg. And his leg gets fucked up. And then Sammy mocks Big E and Nakamura. Daniel takes the offense on Sami Zayn with a missile dropkick. Big E does a belly-to-belly suplex on Cesaro, AJ, and Sammy all in one. Big E starts to feel himself before another interruption or interference. And can you guess who came out? Of course, Miz and Morrison. They always have to come out. And this match, I don't even know what to think of it from this point on, because it just turns around completely, because we have another interference. And then they attack Big E. Of course, another disqualification. So that's two disqualifications for the night. I mean, is Miz and Morrison have nothing to prove here, to be honest? I think they're just here for TV time, because them coming out to attack Big E, I mean, it's just random. There was no point of it. And Otis comes out now. Four interference. And then he takes out Miz and Morrison. The ring just keeps getting crowded with superstars. I mean, it's literally like, who is going to come out next? At this point, you might as well make the whole locker room come out, because it's the SmackDown before Royal Rumble. Just get everyone out, toss everyone over the rope, and whoever left there might be the winner, right? That's what I thought they were going to do. But no, they just keep going. Otis does a caterpillar on Miz and Morrison. Now the match turns into a 10-man match, but there's only 9 men in the ring, so it's, I guess, a handicap match technically. Otis and Miz and Morrison are added to the match. Miz goes for Daniel's leg, of course, because Daniel's leg is fucked up at this point. He drops Daniel onto the announcer table, hitting, and Daniel hits his leg on the announcer table. And Miz goes for a figure four leg lock. The pain is real now. I mean, God, I hope Daniel's leg is good for Sunday, because they really worked it. Sami Zayn then does a blue thunder bomb and goes for the pin. Daniel kicks out within seconds of a 3 count. Everyone here, like I said, is getting the best of Daniel. The poor man hasn't tagged anyone at this point. for a while. I mean, I would say a good 10 minutes. I mean, the guy's getting his shit handed to him. Then Daniel and AJ collide with each other in the ring. This gives Daniel a breather and a chance to attack someone. And then, lo and behold, another interference. Sheamus comes out and joins the match. I thought that one was random. I mean, Sheamus, okay, why not? Daniel tags Sheamus. Finally, Daniel can get a breather because that guy's been through a lot. And Sheamus quickly cleans house. Sheamus does his signature chest chops to Morrison. Now, everyone involved in the match does the finisher to another. It's just all over the place. Kudos to the camera people for keeping the action live for us, because that was a lot. And then Sheamus does a bro kick to Sami Zayn. Sheamus goes for the win for his team. Boom. Sheamus wins for his team. Miz and Morrison attack Sheamus. Now, for the surprise of the night, no one saw coming. I mean, I didn't see that coming. Braun Strowman shows up after being suspended months ago. Suspended for attacking Adam Pearce. Braun raises hell in the ring. Plants everyone down after being suspended. Mind you, this guy was suspended, what? I think 3-4 months ago for, you know, attacking a WWE official, even though they always have it coming. Freaking suits always fucking shit up. Braun raises hell in the ring. Braun has clearly declared a spot in the Rumble. What number will he be? My guess is in the 20s. I would say 22. That's my guess. And then Braun tackles. I don't know why. I just laugh every time I see Braun tackling people outside the ring. I feel like he should have just been a football player. Or maybe he's just a football player that failed and went to wrestling. Not really, though. I love Braun Strowman. Braun Strowman is the man. He knows his shit. And then Braun does a running power slam on Cesaro, claiming dominance in the ring. That's my review for SmackDown. Now, here's the main event, my main event. I'm going to pick the winner of both Men Royal Rumble and Women's Royal Rumble. For the Men's Royal Rumble, I had two. And I had two in mind. To be honest, this year, I feel like it's very unpredictable, to be honest. There's so many good people that could actually go in. But I've narrowed down to two. It was between Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles. Might be obvious, might not be obvious. Those are my top two for the Men Royal Rumble. Now, Daniel Bryan looks very determined to win this one. Very determined. I haven't seen him be this determined since probably WrestleMania 30. Like, the road to WrestleMania 30, where he was a quote-unquote B-plus player. And AJ, something about AJ in this year just screams winner. Like, I don't even know how to explain it. It's just, I look at him and I see him just going to Mania, main eventing, becoming champion, and him having his WrestleMania moment. Now, for my pick between these two, I'm going to have to say AJ Styles. He is going to win the Rumble, and he's going to go to WrestleMania and have his WrestleMania moment. What number will AJ come out to? I don't know why. This year's Royal Rumble has me thinking about like the entry numbers of each superstar. I don't know why. It never happened to me. I've never cared. But this year, for some reason, I just care of what number they're gonna get. So I'll say AJ is gonna be 17. 17. He's gonna stay there. I wouldn't be surprised, to be honest, if it comes down to the final two are Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles. I honestly would not be surprised. And if it comes down to those two, oh man, we're gonna have a hell of a match. I'll be honest too. If AJ Styles doesn't win or Daniel Bryan doesn't win, but they keep the feud going to Mania, these two at Mania will have a WrestleMania moment, even without a championship. These two will pull a clinic in WrestleMania. I will actually say AJ Styles versus Daniel Bryan could be the highlight of WrestleMania if that feud was to continue. But my pick is AJ Styles. Now for the Women's Royal Rumble. This one is a little less predictable. I mean, more predictable, to be honest. But at the same time, I'm skeptical on who they've chosen to win, because my two picks are really Bayley and Charlotte Flair. Those are my two picks. Charlotte Flair winning would be the obvious one, of course, going to WrestleMania and winning the Women's Championship again, but that'd be too on the nose because, okay, she's tag teaming with Asuka. She is the Raw Women's Championship, but then they're both tag team champions, so they might make a whole, like, for the first time ever at WrestleMania, two tag team champions are facing off for another championship. I can actually see that headline happening. But Bayley is on fire. She is like Daniel Bryan. She is determined to get back to the top. She wants that SmackDown Women's Championship. And even though she's having her letdowns, losing to Bianca Belair on SmackDown, I say my pick for the women's Royal Rumble is Bayley. She is going to take it home, and I really hope she does take it home, because my second pick is Charlotte, but I just don't want her to win. It'd be, like I said, too obvious, too on the nose. Of course she's gonna win. She's a Flair. Flair is royalty in WWE, but it shouldn't happen. I mean, imagine if Shayna Baszler wins the Rumble. No one saw that one coming. And that would be great. We have that. Who else? This year's Royal Rumble, it's just anyone can win. Anyone can win. Hell, make Mandy Rose win. Why not? She deserves a push. She's grown. She's grown into her character. She's gotten better in the ring. Why not? If Nia Jax, sure, make her win. Actually, no. Don't make Nia Jax win. Nia Jax is a little bit too dangerous in the ring still, as we saw with that awkward chokeslam she gave Dana. God bless her heart, Dana's heart, because, man, that chokeslam was hell. But, yes, so those are my winners for the 2021 Royal Rumble. Men's Royal Rumble, AJ Styles. Women's Royal Rumble winner, Bayley. But for my highlight of SmackDown, it was only one highlight really for me, and it was the Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns segment. It was really good. I feel like it had the intensity, it had that raw energy, it had the anger, it had the realness. Bringing in Kevin Owens' family, being that Roman Reigns has this whole family aura in his character now, it felt real. Both of them had that realness to them. They both want to beat the fuck out of each other. So I think that was the highlight of the match, and I think they did good with making Roman Reigns' camera go black, and then Kevin just keeps screaming at the camera and just says fuck this, takes off his mic and heads off. It is the perfect way to gain momentum for them, and for them to go into, hopefully the final match, the final showdown, the last man standing match at Royal Rumble. My rating for SmackDown is a 6. It was pretty low. It was a pretty no action SmackDown, to be honest. It just felt like a warm up to Royal Rumble. Everyone was just warming up, getting the blood flowing, getting ready for a Rumble. Nothing big happened. Maybe Braun Strowman coming out after being suspended was the biggest thing that happened. But overall, it was just a regular Friday show. Nothing special, minus the Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns segment. I think that's what made my rating go up. I would have given a 7 maybe if maybe Kevin broke the camera. I think that would have been a good little little segment. Thank you for joining me on this episode of my podcast. And you can follow me on Instagram at Allen Rules Dude. That's AllenRulesDood. And on Twitter at AllenRocks2224. That's Allen, Allan, Rocks, Rock, and the numbers 2224. And I would also like for you guys to give me some feedback. Let me know how I'm doing, what I can do to change the show, make things better, maybe add something. I always want to hear and know what I'm doing so I can improve. I always want to improve and make my shit get better. So, thanks for joining me, and I'll see you next time.